Today's program was brought to you by Brooklyn Ball Factory, a Japanese eatery and coffee shop in East Williamsburg, with a new location opening in Hell's Kitchen. Learn more at bkballfactory.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show where we tell the story behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm Linda Liu, and on the line is my co-host in Hong Kong, Iris Van Kerkhove.
Good morning.
We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, Iris and I dig deep on an Asian dish. We trace its history, how it traveled to the West, and we interview experts on the topic.
So, Linda, I can barely believe that this is the last episode of our season. It just flew by.
It really did. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, we made it?
Yay.
I hope we're invited back for the second season.
Yeah. But yeah, so today we're talking about a food that is near and dear to our hearts because both Linda and I grew up in Hong Kong, and that food is dim sum.
Yeah, we actually did an episode on dim sum in our pre-Heritage Radio Network days last year when we spoke to Wilson Tang of Nam Wa Tea Parlor here in New York and Alex Chow of Ding Dim 1968 in Hong Kong. So with Team Ho Wan opening up in New York City earlier this year, it's a perfect time to revisit the topic. And here with us today is Tony Chan, who's the general manager of Team Ho Wan in New York City. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Iris. How are you?
We're Hi. Awesome.
So for those who aren't familiar with Team Ho Wan, it's a chain of dim sum restaurants in Hong Kong, famous for being one of the most affordable Michelin-starred restaurants in the world, and they're known as the dim sum specialists.
Yeah. So there are several Team Ho Wan locations across Southeast Asia, Taiwan, Macau, Australia, but the Team Ho Wan in East Village is their first U.S. location. Tony was born in Kowloon, Hong Kong, and raised right here in New York City. He studied police science and human behavior patterns at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, but his love for food led him to a career in the restaurant industry, which he has pursued for the last 20 years. But before we talk to Tony, we're going to give our listeners just a little background on dim sum. And I feel like it doesn't require any explanation, but please, Iris, could you tell us what dim sum is and where it's from?
So dim sum is a style of Chinese cuisine where bite-sized portions of food are served in like steamer baskets or small plates and they're shared family style. It originated with the Cantonese in southern China and it continues to be predominantly a Cantonese food even though it does exist in other parts of China. And I guess we tend to think of Hong Kong as the city, like the city for dim sum as it's the most famous and the most international city in Guangdong. Was one of the biggest food scenes in the world. And the tradition is said to have started at tea houses on the ancient Silk Road when travelers needed a place to rest and eat. The Chinese believe tea can aid digestion, so tea house owners began adding various snacks and dim sum was born.
Yeah, like the most delicious snacks ever created. How is it traditionally eaten?
It's traditionally eaten for breakfast or brunch. It can be eaten on any day of the week, but it's common for families to get together on the weekend and all get dim sum together. So this tradition is called yum cha, which literally means drink tea, but it describes the whole act of going out and drinking tea and eating dim sum. Some examples of dim sum items are shrimp dumplings, barbecue pork buns, rice rolls, lotus leaf wrapped rice, and chicken feet, which freaks Westerners out, but is actually delicious. And there's many more examples of dim sum, including sweeter items like custard buns and egg tarts.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So are there any interesting insights you remember from our last dim sum episode that you want to share?
Yeah, I think it was cool that in the first episode we did on dim sum, we interviewed two different business owners in Hong Kong and New York City, but we found that in the end their stories were kind of parallel. Both Wilson and Alex are younger guys who left white-collar careers, and they were influenced by their uncle's dim sum career to run their respective dim sum businesses. Both modernized the concept of dim sum, taking it from a breakfast or brunch meal to all-day dining, which is a concept that's definitely getting more popular. So I guess those are my two favorite insights, that it's no longer just a weekend breakfast food, and that the super old traditional food is still experiencing innovation and a younger generation's take on it. How about you, Linda?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on the dim sum all day aspect. Actually, it's what Team Ho Wan does here in New York as well. And when I tried it a few weeks ago, I went for dinner and it was, you know, just as awesome. And also as packed, because they are so popular. But also, I want to call out, you know, how skillful you need to be to create dim sum. And I think, you know, I didn't realize this until we had that conversation with Wilson and Alex, is like how difficult it is to make, the diverse range of knowledge and skills you need for all the different types of wrappers, fillings, sauces, and there are just so many of them.
For sure, yeah. I think we take that quality for granted sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And so speaking of quality and awesome dim sum, I'm going to chat with Tony. Tony, please tell us about yourself and how did you end up as the GM at Team Ho Wan?
Oh, well, I'm a very clear-cut kind of guy. I love people. I love to talk to people. I like to learn new things. I'm a huge foodie. I mean, I would travel to different countries to eat certain foods. Like, I flew to Japan to eat sushi. Flew to South Korea to eat kimchi. Mm-hmm. I just love food.
And when did you move to... Because you were born in Hong Kong, right? So when did you move to the States?
I'm not going to tell you. Then I'm going to reveal my age, and I don't want the world to know my age. But I came here relatively young.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much born and bred in New York City. So in Chinese, you would call it pretty much ABC.
Yeah.
I got into Tim Ho Wan by luck. I used to be at Applebee's. Then I felt kind of stagnant in my career and my advancement. So then I decided to post my resume on a website,
mm-hmm.
and then my boss, Daniel, found me.
Oh,
and
yay.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
And you're, like, crushing it right now at
yep.
Team Ho Wan. It's great. So how does Team Ho Wan compare to your, like, previous experiences working in the, you know, demanding food environments? Because you've been in the city for so long. You know, what are the challenges in running such a successful dim sum restaurant?
Well, excuse me. The challenge in running a busy restaurant is always maintaining a high level of customer service. Maintaining customer number one is just as satisfied as customer 1,000 who comes in the done
mm-hmm.
day. Catering to everyone's whims and needs of, I need this, I want this, can
mm-hmm.
we do this?
Yeah, that's kind of a hard mentality to keep up too, because you have like so many people coming in. So is that, you know, something that you're like instilling in your like staff there? And
In that sense, I mean, I think I would like to think my studies in John Jay paid off a little bit, like the study of human behavior patterns. Like, I could tell by your body language, your eye movement, your hand movement, what exactly is wrong. So before you even complain about it,
oh, wow.
I have my staff, I have myself, my manager, assistant managers there to try to smooth out the incidents.
Oh, that's so cool. Who knew that, like, human behavior could, you know, fall into this kind of industry? Yeah. Totally makes sense,
though. I guess I like that.
I love that.
I mean,
I also work in a restaurant, and for sure, I think it's really important to be able to read customers, and I love that you think, like, you know, your college education helped that.
Yeah, man, my college education, I was wanted to go into law enforcement, but based on my mom's request not to, because I'm the only son in the family, but old-fashioned, you know, stuff like that. So I decided to go into foods, and who knows, who knew that my degree would pay off today?
That's great, and you're, like, making people happy with food, so
yes.
Definitely different. What does Team Hoan mean? Can you give us a little bit about, like, the name and the origin story?
The name Tim Ho Wan pretty much in Chinese is Tim Ho Wan, which means add more good luck. Oh. So we chose the color green to be our logo because green in Chinese means luck as well.
Yeah. And how did the restaurant start?
Well, it started back in 2009 by Chef Mac and Chef Leung. They discovered that in Hong Kong, where they are, there's no traditional fresh dim sum. Pretty much everything that you get, even in New York or any other places, that all the dim sum you get is either frozen or pre-cooked or half-cooked, and then served to you by heating it up the next day. And biting into something like that and then getting something really fresh is a really night and day kind of difference. Mm-hmm. So Chef Mac, Chef Long decided, you know what, why don't we open a concept where we could give our guests fresh dim sum, whether it's early in the morning or late at night, as opposed to freezing something and then reheating it back up to them, you know, to show them exactly what Cantonese dim sum tastes like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they started first in Hong Kong, and opened up a few branches there. What made them decide that, you know, like, New York was, like, ready for this? You know, it just made sense for them to expand here as, like, the next outpost?
Well, they decided to go into New York. Mr. Frank Sinatra says, you know, if you can survive in New York, you survive anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, New York is pretty much the Italy of Europe, where it's the trendsetter. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty much the mecca of everything, food, fashion, culture, style, pretty much it starts in New York. And if we could get the buzz going in New York, I think we'd do pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned freshness definitely as, you know, one of the outstanding points that you guys offer compared to possibly other dim sum restaurants here in the city. So how's this location different from the ones in Hong Kong? How is this one, well, other than being in New York, of course, but how is this different?
Well, different in the sense that the Hong Kong menu is a little bit, has more of a selection than New York menu.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a couple of demographic favorites,
mm-hmm.
like liver rice roll. Mm-hmm. That is really popular in Hong Kong. And I guess Chef Mac, Chef Leung felt that it wouldn't be as popular in New York, perhaps.
Yeah, the word liver isn't like that.
Yeah. It varies in the difference besides being in New York. I mean, the weight's the same. The crowd's the same. The intensity is the same.
Uh-huh.
But I would say the number one difference in New York is the diversity of our clientele.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, we have all sorts of people come in.
Yeah, that's really great. You're, like, opening up dim sum to, like, other
demographics. Expanding everyone's palates.
Yeah, and what are some of the unique demographic favorites here?
Well, we have two items that's exclusively in New York and only in New York. Would be the vegetable spring roll that's deep fried, and then also the French cream toast that's similar to an egg tart kind of concept, but we just added a twist of adding bread to it. That's only exclusive in New York that you cannot find in Hong Kong or Australia or Thailand or Philippines.
That's fun.
So if you want it, you have to come to New York City, guys.
Yeah, it sounds like if you're like a hardcore dim sum or like a Team Ho Wan fan, you need like a passport and you'll like collect the stamps at all of them.
Pretty much.
So freshness sounds like, you know, something you guys really take to heart. You know, how do you guys achieve freshness? Or is there any, like, special, like, ways that you manage to keep everything fresh?
Pretty much freshness is, well, if you know anything about dim sum, it's pretty much the skin of the dumplings that's most important. The filling is, of course, important, but not as important as the texture of the skin itself, as the wrapping.
Yeah.
All our wrappings and skin is made in the store the morning of. We don't order anything from suppliers. Anything is frozen, factory made, and freeze, and then delivered to us. So we take pride in our skin and the wrappings, and that would really change the texture and the taste of the product.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I feel like when I'm having more like generic dim sum, the skin is too like rubbery or thick. I can definitely sense that everything is more delicate.
Yeah, we take pride. I mean, like I was telling people that if you came in at 10:01 a.m. in the morning and order shrimp dumplings, which is hagao, and then came in 9:59 p.m. before we close, the quality and the texture would taste exactly the same.
That's amazing. Oh, and then I remember you telling me this thing about how you quality taste like almost every hour. Is this true?
Yes, it's unfortunately, I mean, I hate to do it, but it's part of my job to eat the food at Tim Hawaii. pretty much, yeah, boo.
The hard
me. It's really tough on the waistline, really tough. Pretty much like once an hour of if I'm a little hungry, maybe once every 45 minutes, I will taste a certain product. I will have one or two bites and then really feel out the texture, the skin, the quality of it. And then if it's an issue with it, I will go to the chef and say, listen, this is something wrong with this, and let's stop this, and let's move on to something else. If I don't like it, I'm not going to sell it to my guests.
Okay, that's amazing. You're doing it for the greater good. Taking one for the team.
For you guys, I'm doing taking one for the dipper, guys.
And what are some other elements, other than freshness, that diners should look out for when searching for quality dim sum?
Other than freshness, you need to look at the texture. You need to look at the texture and the quality of the fillings. Because sometimes the fillings, it plays a big part. It's the second most important part of dim sum. Like I said, some people use low-grade product, and you actually taste the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, for you to really enjoy Tim Ho Wan, you would need to really sample other places first, and then because you can't really determine how good we are until you have the rest.
That totally makes sense. So we're gonna take a really quick break, and we'll be right back with more dim sum.
This episode is brought to you by Brooklyn Ball Factory, a Japanese eatery and coffee shop with locations at 95 Montrose Avenue in East Williamsburg and 729 8th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen. They're brewing up some of the city's best tea and coffee, now in Brooklyn and Manhattan. Grab a pour-over, matcha latte, or yuzu ginger mint tea. For lunch, Brooklyn Ball Factory offers Japanese comfort food, like sandwiches and muffins. Or think inside the box and order one of their bentos, like meatball, grilled veggies, or pork shabu shabu. The meatballs, a favorite, are made with beef chuck roll and short rib in a sweet sour sauce of apples cooked in soy. The new location, Brooklyn Ball Factory Hell's Kitchen, is now serving sushi bombs. If you're in the mood for dessert, try dorayaki, traditional Japanese snacks that are made to order and served warm. Brooklyn Ball Factory takes the classic mini pancake sandwiches with red bean paste and puts a modern twist on them by adding mascarpone cheese and additional stuffing, like Japanese sweet potato, cream cheese, chocolate ganache, matcha white chocolate, or mochi. Visit Brooklyn Ball Factory at 95 Montrose Avenue in East Williamsburg and 729 8th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen. Brooklyn Ball Factory is now available to cater your next business lunch or cocktail party. Learn more at bkballfactory.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Feast Meets West. Here in the studio with me is Tony Chan of Team Ho Wan. Tony, could you tell me what are your most popular dishes at the restaurant?
We have a lot, actually. The most popular dish, of course, would be the barbecue pork roast bun. That's in huge demand every day. Second to that would be the shrimp dumpling tagao.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly after that would be the siomai, the pork and shrimp dumpling.
Oh, so the classics really
hit. Yes.
Like the ones that you see like illustrated or they're magnets.
Yes, like, definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome. And will there ever be any like new dishes added, or do you think dim sum is about like presenting the tried and true dishes?
Well, new as opposed to a new menu items being added, it would have to be depend on the company itself. But as for Tim Ho Wan, we will always keep the staples, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We are in discussion of changing a couple of items on the menu. The timeline for that is unknown. What items that we are going to change, I cannot tell you.
Oh,
otherwise, I lose my job. But we are planning to change a couple of items on the menu.
Cool. Can't wait to go back and try those out. Is there a special etiquette or unwritten rules to eating dim sum?
There's no written rule of mm-hmm. eating dim sum. I myself personally was raised by my mom, who I pretty much when I'd done something wrong, I smacked on the hand. So pretty much you let your elders eat first, and then you would take the last one. Excuse me, you would take the second to the last one. You would never take the last one either. And pretty much it would be the same in every culture that when you eat, you don't eat what's in front of you. You don't reach across the table to eat. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah. It's like when you're with your big family, you're respecting them, and it's part of like a complete family experience too.
Yeah, and I mean, if mommy and daddy's not dead, it's just the siblings. You just, it's all out.
Okay.
So whoever eats the most, you know, whoever's at fastest chopsticks eats the most.
Got it. And how do you feel about the dim sum cart? Because I noticed you guys don't have that.
Oh, well, I, for one, hate the dim sum cart. Because,
mm-hmm.
first of all, you have the dim sum carts that's rolling around and making all this noise, banging into each other, banging into your chairs, banging into your coats, leaving grease marks, water marks all over your coats. And then you have these really Asian personnel who's just yelling at you. Not that they mean to, but just yelling at you, saying, you want this, and mm-hmm. you're like, I'm not ready for it yet, you know? So that's why we decided to go away from the carts and create a more personal interaction with our guests.
Yeah. Okay. That definitely makes sense. And I feel like dim sum overall is never exactly a relaxed experience. There's always a kind of like noisy helter-skelter feeling to it, with the clinking, you know, dishes and the conversations and like families and children's, you know, yelling sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, the racket in the back,
yeah.
And it's part of the dim sum experience, mm-hmm. you know. For us to eliminate all that noise, it would create a kind of fine dining kind of aura, and we don't really want that. We want everyone to experience the true dim sum experience, you know, which is great dim sum, fresh dim sum, and with the noise factor.
Yeah, it's part of the fun. So how do you approach eating dim sum with your family? Do you have any specific traditions? Or
with my family, pretty much simple. The last one, we always set a date and a time, and the last one who shows up pays the bill. We always, like I said, whoever has the fastest chopsticks eats the most.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everyone in my family has their own favorite, and mm-hmm. we just... pretty much like a buffet. Oh, I want this. I mean, you just order as you go.
Yeah. And how often do you get together for dim sum?
Not as often as I like.
Mm-hmm.
We try to get together at least once a week. But since all my nieces is all full grown, married, have kids at home, my sisters are retiring and doing their own thing, it's very hard to get the whole family together.
Yeah. But yeah, that's great. Like, you always have this thing that, you know, they can come back to, and it's like a consistent thing on the calendar.
Yeah, but I think Tim Ho Wan spoiled me, because now when I go to other restaurants and eat, I'm very critical on the other food. Like, oh my God, what is this? Oh my God, what am I eating this? This is like, oh my God, you served this to me? How dare they, you know? So Tim Ho Wan pretty much destroyed my palate for other dim sum.
Okay, so you'll have to tell me about these lines at Tim Ho Wan. Why do you think people love Tim Ho Wan so much? To wait like hours, and what has been some of the longest waits there so far?
The longest wait we ever had would be the second day of Chinese New Year.
Oh, yeah.
Right off the top, we open at 10 o'clock. At 10.04 a.m. in the morning, we had a two-hour wait already. And then somewhere around 2 p.m., I believe the wait was 6 hours.
Wow.
And around that time, I shut the wait list down because it was getting out of control.
Yeah.
And like, New York City is full, it's not just myself, but New York City is full of foodies, full. And they love good food. And they are not willing to go someplace else for mediocre food. They'd rather wait and wait and wait till they get the good food.
Yeah, for the very best.
Yeah, New York is very, it's very persistent.
Yeah, it's a very obsessive personality
pretty
when
much,
it comes
yeah.
to food. And so you have all of these people in your line, basically.
New York City is a trendsetter. You're like, oh my God, come on, Bridget, let's go eat at Tim Ho Wan because Linda went to eat there, so we have to eat there too because I don't want to hear her talk all the time about it. You know?
Yeah, I have to take my own photo.
Exactly.
So do you think the hype will die down? You know, will the 6 hour waits become 2 hour waits?
And knock on wood, I hope the hype never dies down.
Yeah.
That's why we are on conversation of changing a couple of menu items. Just keep everybody on the edge and keep the menu fresh.
Yeah, and keep people coming back.
Yes.
And okay, so do you have a recommendation for those who want to dine at Tim Ho Wan on the best approach to the line, like best time to go?
I don't think it's a good idea to do it on air, but okay. either you choose to be online early in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning before we open, hour before open, and wait in line and be part of the first 60, or Monday through Thursday between 2:30 and 4 p.m. It's the slowest time for us. The wait is only going down to a half hour to 40 minutes.
Oh, wow. Thanks for sharing. Oh, my gosh.
But after this conversation, I don't think it's going to be the slowest time anymore.
I'm going to mess up that wait schedule. Oops.
Yeah.
So what's next, though? Where can Team Ho Wan go from here?
As we speak, Tim Ho Wan in Waikiki, Hawaii is being built. It's being structured. And currently, we are looking aggressively for a location, for a spot in Santa Monica. Santa Monica realtors, landlords, hear me? Tim Ho Wan wants to come to you. Give us a price. Give us a location.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are great spots. And what do you see for the future of dim sum as a whole?
Dim sum as a whole, going forward, I think will definitely expand. I think going forward, it won't be just in an Asian restaurant. I think going forward, it will be in an American restaurant or the cultural restaurants too, because it pretty much is like tapas, it's like finger food, small items. So you have more of a variety of everything. I think people, like I said, is catching on to all day dim sum. So eventually, I think dim sum would be all around. They may vary in taste and maybe name and maybe product inside, but it comes down to the bottom line, it's still called dim sum.
Yeah, that's a good take on it. And what are your personal goals? What's next for you?
Next for me, my personal goal, I just want to be part of the Tim Ho Wan expansion and just help the family grow and the name grow.
Yeah. And Waikiki and Santa Monica sound pretty great.
Yeah, once we find a location in Santa Monica.
Awesome. So that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Tony.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Iris.
Thank you, Tony. And as someone who lives in Hong Kong, it's super exciting for me to see Tim Ho Wan make it to New York City and to learn about dim sum from the New York perspective. So, Linda, I guess this wraps up our winter season.
Yeah, that's right. And we want to thank you, listeners, for your support during our first season. Make sure to subscribe to Feast Meets West on iTunes and Stitcher so you don't miss any new episodes when we're back for our summer season. It's also a great time for you to catch up on old episodes and go to feastmeetswest.com to check out our other content, including our quick-fire Q&As with our former guests. We'll be back next season with more awesome conversations from the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food Radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.